Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Help me not to speak words of wisdom, plausible words of wisdom, but words given by your Spirit, that you would speak to each heart and send us forth with a charge to lead others in your gospel truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been on a journey, haven't we? I've heard a few things of how the summer has been. A lot of people have been away on vacations and such, and we're facing a financial deficit, and I'm not worried. As a church, we hit these times during the summer, and I just know that the Lord is going to pay for what he orders. And so if you are in a need to catch up on your tithing, or you're new to us and have yet to give your tithe or want to give your tithe is welcome at St. Luke's Church. But we've been on a journey, haven't we? 6 years ago. Can you believe 6 years ago? October 1 will be the first, or September 30th, I think, was the Sunday we started and I preached. But we're coming up on a full 6 years, starting our seventh year, and I think about all that we've accomplished in a pretty short period of time. Just coming in the door, I was given a phone call my first week about a piece of property over on Ghent Road that was given to us by a man who used to attend St. Luke's, and that turned into $100,000 for us to consider, Lord, what would you have us do? And a gift another week later or so came in for another $100,000, and so we had $200,000, and we said, Lord, what would you have us do? And soon, your rector, emphasis on the rec, got out his hammer and started knocking down walls. And we knocked down walls in the cafe and made the cafe bigger. And we closed off a wall so we had just one side entrance to our sacristy for our vesting. And we tore out all the lights in here. We ripped up the floor one Sunday. And we've replaced all the chairs and just renovated the place. God has been in this renovation season with us and walked us through incredible things. New kitchen in the harbor and a tent, and we burnt our mortgage. And guess what? He's not done yet. And I'm not talking about buildings and things. The buildings and things are about what the church is. And is the church the building and the things? No. I will have to admit that's a great answer, because we need a place to gather, right? And a gathering point it removes a stumbling block of just having some random gathering somewhere and calling ourselves the church. But the church is the people. Building can come down, but the church is the people. And we've been on this journey with the Lord, wondering, where is he taking us? Because he's constantly taking us to new levels. He's constantly taking us to new devils, obstacles along the way that we're going to have to face and overcome. Why? The kingdom of heaven is not like that, is it? But our worthiness to the kingdom of heaven is met with, will they submit to me or not? But the truth of the gospel lesson this morning can be summed up in this: submit to God, and you will find his blessing. Amen. Period. I can sit down now, but I won't. We've been on a journey together. I heard this story this week that I want to share with you as an illustration. And the story goes like this. Pooh says to Piglet, "Oh, Piglet." "Yes," said Piglet. I won't go on with the voice. It'll take me a lot longer. For the moment, there was silence. "Would you like to talk about it?" asked Piglet, when Pooh didn't appear to say anything further. He said, "I'm just so scared," blurted out Pooh. "So anxious, because I don't feel like things are getting any better. If anything, I feel like they might be getting worse, People are angry because they're scared. They're turning on one another. There seems to be no clear plan out here. I worry about my friends and the people I love, and I wish so much that I could give them all a hug. And oh, Piglet, I'm so scared, and I can't tell you how much I wish it wasn't so. Piglet was thoughtful as he looked out at the blue of the skies, peeping between the branches and the trees in the 100-acre wood, as he listened to his friend. "I'm here," he said simply. "I hear you, Pooh, and I'm here." For a moment, Pooh was perplexed. "But aren't you going to tell me not to be so silly, that I should stop getting myself into a state and pull myself together? That it's hard for everyone right now?" "No," said Piglet, quite decisively. "No, I am not going to say any of those such things." "But," said Pooh, "I can't change tomorrow right now," continued Piglet. "And I am not going to patronize you with platitudes about how everything will be okay, because I don't know that. What I can do, though, Pooh, is I can make sure that you know that I'm here and that I'll always be here to listen and to support you and for you to know that you're heard. I can't make those anxious feelings go away, not really, but I can promise you that all the time I have breath left in my body, you won't ever need to feel those anxious feelings alone." And it was a strange thing, because even as Piglet said that, Pooh could feel some of those anxious feelings start to loosen their grip on him. And he could feel one or two of them start to slither away into the forest, cowed by his friend who sat there solidly next to him. Pooh thought he had never been more grateful to have Piglet in his life. I share with that as illustration is obviously we know that Jesus' promise to us is that he'll never leave us or forsake us. But in the body of Christ, I need to say as your leader, I'll be your Piglet. And you need to be Piglets to one another. We are a body that is called to serve as disciples. And to be a disciple of Christ means that you have disciples. Disciples have disciples that have disciples that have disciples that have disciples that have disciples. You get it? There's a relationship that was patterned for us and shown to us throughout history. Joshua took over from Moses. When Joshua was done, there was a passing of the torch, as later on kings would sort of get worse over time, right? We whine and complain about our history thinking that it's never been like this, but it was much worse in other times in history, and we can be grateful for the country and the freedoms that we've been given. I have to tell you, with clarity, I love my country. I love that we've been born here. I love that we get to worship here. I love that he has called us as believers into a kingdom work. And in that kingdom work, there's no room for bullies. There's no room for truth that is not God's truth, that doesn't line up with Scripture. So as you measure all these things that are coming to you, they've been spun up on social media, go to his word. Hallelujah. Go to his word, go to his word. And if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. We don't need to add to the pile of stuff that's being said about people we may or may not like if they don't have a policy, but speak the truth. Speak the truth about the people that are out there and around you, because the truth reflects the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate, the Word of God in Scripture. Off my bully pulpit, because we need to get on with what it means to be on this journey. Joshua was on a journey in the Old Testament. We're hearing of Joshua, and You might wonder why we go when we're reading the scriptures and we see the title of Joshua and it says Joshua 24, 1 and 2a, 14 through 25. It's because The fact of the matter is we're trying to get to the text, but put it in the context. So when you read the lectionary, oftentimes it'll give a little blurb to get you to where we're going. So we start off with Joshua gathers all the tribes. He spends time with them. And they're in this place, this geographical place called Shechem. Shechem wasn't just any old place. It was a place where Abraham had first received the promise of God. It was a place where Jacob had stopped and he asked the people of God before they entered the promised land to bury all the family idols. So no trash would come with them. They weren't going to drag the trash along. But you see, the net effect of being in that area was that there were other religions and other peoples that they were mixed in with. And as they got affected by that culture, they started to believe, well, maybe if I just worship a little bit like these people, it might be okay. Now, you might not think any of you would bow down to the sun or to the moon or to rain or to water or to the grain gods or whatever they might be. The pantheon was there from the gods of Ur in that time period. And they were typical to from anywhere from Egypt all the way up through Mesopotamia into these regions of Cana. The people were starting to act like the locals. Isn't that probably one of the things that upsets all of us most, is we're not sure who's who or what's what in our culture today, because we are all things to all people, which means we're nothing to everybody. We don't have any identity, but the truth is you do. In Christ, you have an identity in Christ. You have a value. You are purchased with a price. And to do that, we must follow and obey. So, as we hear about this area, we recognize it's a place of the promise. The response in that promise to Abraham was to worship in Shechem. And they buried their idols there. And the law was being dedicated in Shechem. Shechem means the shoulder or the saddle. It refers to the place that it is because it's the county seat, if you will. It's the central location between mountains. And these monuments were put up to the laws of the Lord so that we could remember what was at the center of what we believe. You shall have no other gods before me. Keep holy the Sabbath. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. All of the Ten Commandments that were given were there in monument form. So, here's Joshua. He says, today's the day. You need to choose. And you can choose the evil pagan gods that are surrounding you. But if you choose, you will have to recognize that there are limitations to their God. But if you choose the Lord today, you have to put away everything that might smack of your worship of those other gods. Now, again, nobody's got a temple in their house. We as believers in the house of God who worship Jesus Christ as his only son, we don't have things that we erect to think that we're going to worship them along with our God. But we have televisions, we have cars, we have households, we have habits, we've got things that come across the screen through the internet. There are things that have limited our intimacy with God, and they need to be removed. Simple as that. They need to be buried so that we can move. So if you hear the story right, the people of God have had several chances. How many of you have had several chances? Every Sunday we come before the Lord and we confess our sins and we ask the Lord to begin afresh because we're human. Things come out of our mouths before we realize they come out and we can't reel them back. Like trying to get the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube, you know. Once it's out there, it's hard to get it back. The reality is, we have to come before the holy God who can restore us fully and say, we have seen, just like the people of God have seen, we have seen with our own eyes the ways that you have driven back the enemies of the land. We have seen with our own eyes a culture become completely be shifted by the circumstances of the time. And sometimes that has been in our knowing, because you know the generations before us, wars, economic crashes, famine, brokenness, even the C word, COVID. The Lord has used to develop goodness in the world around us. Open your eyes, take a look. We communicate more than we have in the past, because we now have an avenue to say distance is not going to keep us from talking to one another and talking face to face. So people are hopping on Zoom, right? People are communicating in a way that we've never communicated before. And Joshua, in this story this morning, reminds us that we have a God who is powerful, but he's a jealous God, and he won't put up with your crap. I'm sorry to say it that way, but that's exactly what it is. We have a jealous God who won't put up with your crap. He won't put up with your excuses. He won't put up with the things that you've said, well, maybe next week, or maybe next year, or maybe I'll get this habit down. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Brokenness and all, we will serve the Lord. Habits and all, we will try to give over to you those things so that we could stand one day and say, look at what I've changed. We can say that, can't we? We've been on a journey for the last 6 years, and we can say, look at how St. Luke's has changed. We've lost some people have moved, new people have come. We are in a place where we are a beacon of healing to this place. I ask around for what people think of this place, and they marvel at the fact, and I am so blessed to hear stories of you guys serving at the Copley Heritage Days. And then I've also heard word about y'all at Peter Maurin Center, and people saying, wow, you guys do a lot in the community, don't you? We can do so much more. Somebody wished that I could give a travelogue of our time away, but I can say this, that we learned so much from the vines and the vineyards. It wasn't just a drinking tour, okay? We got to drink some really good wine, but we also learned a lot about God's illustration of how he grows us. And you're going to hear about that. But one of the most poignant things in the midst of it is we learned that there are seasons, and in those seasons, we each have to live according to the season. You can't force the fruit to grow. It's got to go through dormancy, and it's got to go through springtime. And in summer, it may not look like it's ever going to come to full fruit, but we were there to see the fruit. And the woman that taught us at this one vineyard, she said, isn't it great to see variation? And we're kind of like, what's variation? She said, that's when the fruit is not just big and plump, because you can have overwatered, big, plump berries, and the wine is horrible because it's so watered down. The tannins aren't mature. They haven't fought for what they are. But when you see variation, it means that you're only a week and a half away from the harvest. Do you see variation in your life? Do you see the fruit that is growing around you? Do you know how to encourage your neighbor and your friends and your family? Do you know how to speak over them? Do you know how to be bold and say, the Holy Spirit showed me that you need prayer, and that may sound weird to you, but I just want to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you for? Whoa. The first moment that you said, the Holy Spirit showed me something for you, to bless you. 9 times out of 10, when I've said those words to people, they were like, really? God cares about me. God wants to speak to me. God wants to pray over me. Now, they may not trust you. And the reason why they may not trust you is they don't see integrity in your life. They don't see a consistency of somebody who is living for the heart of God, or living by principles that have integrity, you haven't shown necessarily the character. And I'm not here to point a finger. I've got to fix those things in my own heart and my own life so that those pieces of integrity stand out before me. Paul says that today, doesn't he? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, the proof is in the pudding, right? And Paul says, here's the pudding. Right? Here's the pudding. As he's speaking to the Ephesians, of course, I have to arrive back and I get Ephesians 5. You know, and everybody loves the controversy of Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 isn't about putting down women or husbands making their wives submit. Ephesians 5 is about the intimacy of God. We need to submit to God fully. As we submit to one another, our lives get better. As we allow ourselves to be husbands that are willing to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her, let's be people of suffering and crucifixion for the people that we love, willing to set our lives aside. Our desires aside, our hopes, our dreams. Because what happens is usually when we are in a better frame of mind and we are in a place where we're submitted to one another, those hopes and dreams are fulfilled because God knows what we dream about. God cares about what we dream about. And when they come in alignment with Him and we're submitted to Him, those things often come about. So Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but address each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the last time I started being that goofy in my faith was when I was immature. When I was first a believer, I did a lot of goofy things. I wore a lot of goofy Christian tchotchke. I had posters in my bedroom. There were just things that expressed this new heart that is alive in Christ. But the fact of the matter is, you don't stay goofy forever. What Paul is trying to say is let your testimony bubble out of you like a song. Let the word of God become alive so that everybody around you knows that you have joy in your heart because of what Christ has done. Now, nobody can be there forever, right? You just can't, that person that comes across as smiling and singing and whistling and, you know, there are a few people I know that sort of fit that vein. But most of those you think, man, you need to take your medication. Because they're just a little off a center, right? But Paul is saying to us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the way you love. Love by your testimony. Let people know what fuels your day. Remind them of what happens when you pray. Remind them what joy you have in Christ. So he goes down the list, right? Here's how we submit to each other in reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Don't push, don't nag, don't claim that you're the holder of the truth, but work together with your husbands. Now that's a paraphrase of what he says, right? The same thing can be said, and I've already said it about husbands. Husbands, submit so much to your wives that you're willing to die for her. Now, does that only refer to husbands and wives? They're not only people who are married in this room. If you're not married, it doesn't mean that that text excludes you. That text actually absolutely includes you because it's talking about submission to one another. Lay yourself down for the other. Be willing to offer, to not be in charge, but to listen with two ears and one mouth, because that's the proportion that God gave it to you in, right? We should be listening more than we should be speaking. Husbands, sanctify your wife, having cleansed her and washed her with the water of the word. I'm a husband and I don't do that well enough. I could do that more. I have a lot of designs of my own. I say biting things that I have to apologize to Kristen for. There are times where we need to be reconciled over stupid stuff because I'm pig-headed. I need to wash her with the water of the word. It doesn't mean that I get cheesy. It doesn't mean that I give her Christianese. It means that I live by what I've read. Amen. And it goes on to say, therefore, a man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Again, let's wipe out the dominance thing and the power thing that has been preached for so many years and recognize that God is pointing to true intimacy. True intimacy between a man and a woman should be a reflection of the relationship that we have with God. And it has zero to do with power or sex. It has everything to do with our absolute love. What does our absolute love for each other do? It connects us as one flesh. So Jesus, as he is saying to his disciples at the end of the feeding of the 5,000 and in all the teaching from John's gospel, he gets to the text that we heard this morning. After talking about the Eucharist, they're confused. I am the bread of life, and if you consume me and you consume my blood, I will be in you, I will be with you, I will remain, Jesus says. What? I thought that was cannibalism and that was given up years ago. No joke, my kids' friends came to church and they heard the prayer of humble access, and we say in that prayer of humble access every Sunday that we will eat the flesh and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't sound right unless you understand that in context. But the spiritual reality, and Jesus knew it was a hard spirituality to swallow, every pun intended, is that's a profound mystery, right? It's a profound mystery. He says, what I'm referring to you is, Paul says, is Christ and the church, a mystery of this wedding of intimacy between God and his people, a indwelling of the presence and the fullness of God. Therefore, all of these examples that Paul was giving was saying, listen, if we submit to one another, we do our jobs, we will perform better in life and freer and clearer and more graciously with great joy than any other time in our lives. So we back to the gospel. He feeds the 5,000 and says that he is the bread of life. And he hears the disciples saying, this is a hard saying. Who can live by this? They hadn't yet gotten to the Last Supper. They hadn't yet sort of resolved in their hearts what this really truly means spiritually. It really has a mystery meaning to it. And Jesus asked them a question. And it's a question that we started off in our journey together as St. Paul's, St. Luke's. Wow, I'll get the right church, right? We need to remain unoffendable. People can say things to you, but the greatest way to disarm the things that are said that you don't like or don't line up with the gospel is not, you're wrong! You're going to hell! But, huh? Tell me about that. How's that working for you? Is that really true? Have you gone on Snopes.com and found out whether or not that really lines up with the truth? Let's have a conversation with the culture around us and compare it to the Word of God. And at the end of the day, you don't need to be angry or ashamed about the Word of God, but you can just say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? As for me and my house, we will uphold the scriptures. We'll stand by the commandments. As for me and my house, life matters to God. And so we're going to care for the unborn. We're going to care for the women who have gone through tragedy in their lives. We're going to care for those who have extreme medical needs because of a pregnancy or because of whatever has gone on in those things that we face in life. And it just doesn't have to be these hot button issues that we face. We need to face them with the gospel, with the truth of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, do you take offense to this? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is no help at all. Fact of the matter is, I could show you me going back to God, but it's not going to make a difference unless you're willing to believe that I am doing something with my flesh and my blood. And it living in you is much more powerful than me living with you. I could stand on this earth and speak till I'm blue in the face and teach you all sorts of things over and over and over again. But until the punctuation mark of my death and resurrection, it will not change. You will start to believe or see things only by the limitations of your own life, not by the power of God through his flesh and blood. He said, the reality is that some of you that don't believe, and he knew who was going to betray him, and he knew who was going to walk away. And said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted him by the Father. God's got to be the prime mover. So when you're chipping away at somebody you work with or chipping away at somebody in your family, you've got your list, right? Lord, I've been on my knees for 20 years for these people. Why will they not believe yet? Let's change that prayer. Get them, God. Get them. You're the prime mover. We love them so much, we want to see them be with Jesus. We want to see them for eternity. You speak grace and peace and joy and life to them. Please. Isn't that different prayer? It's not angry because we didn't have the right words to make them think a different way. It's joyful because we know that in God's time, in God's way, in his promise, he will transform lives when he wants, how he wants. After many of the disciples walked away at this point in time, Jesus said to the 12, there's the door. Do you want to go away too? And this is me saying to you, St. Luke's, the testimony of God, the power of his work, the promises that he's made, the intimacy that he has with you for those who have submitted to God and know the truth about his word, is not going to go away. But if you don't believe it, and you're tired of rhetoric, and you think that, you know, Sunday morning is just the opiate of the people, as we've been told, there's the door. But if you're here because you need to be encouraged, you need the Holy Spirit to speak a word of prophecy over your life, encouragement, comfort, and strength. That's what Paul calls the heart of prophecy. If you need to be encouraged, you need to be comforted, you need to be strengthened, you're in the right place. And don't we have a world of people around us that we know need that gift? They need to come and be washed by words that might be foreign to them, but they walk away going, wow, those people are happy. Those people are joyful. Those people have something that I don't have. When I was in seminary, some of you have heard me say this before, but I used to make fun of charismatics. I'm embarrassed to say that. Because I would see, you know, a song get played, and just at the right time, all the satellite dishes would go up. They'd tilt in the right direction as if they're trying to tune the Holy Spirit in. And I wanted what they had. Because while some of them were faking it, some of them, it was a show. Look at me, look at me, look at me, loving God, look at me, look at me. If you're in that place, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. This is not an opportunity for a show. This is a place for you to show up and meet the living God. So don't come and play games with your God. Come and submit to the living God, because he wants to transform your life. As soon as he gets plugged into you, he's going to change the lives of the people around you. And that's what I wanted. I saw people who were truly transformed by the presence and power and love of Jesus. Peter rightly says, why would we leave you? You have the words of life. You have the words of life. You can raise the dead. You can change molecular structure in people's bodies. You can give water for the soul. Why would we leave you? We just want people to know what we see, what we hear, what we know. My friends, if there's one thing that Kristen and I learned while we were away, is God has equipped you for a life that you haven't even discovered yet. And I don't care what age you are, Dorothy, get ready. I don't care what limitations, you have. God wants to use your gifts and your abilities and your testimony to bless lives around you. Not so that we can put some more butts in the pews and more bucks in the coffers. That's always nice. But as we do His will and as we pursue His kingdom, all of that stuff will come. And it will go. It will come and it will go. I saw this place as I saw All Saints before I was there in Virginia. This place is an aircraft carrier. St. Luke's is a deployment station. It's a place where you fly in and you get healing and you find out what real joy is and you get challenged by people who are challenging. We're challenging to each other, aren't we? And there may be times where you're even offended, but let's put aside offense and follow the truth. Okay? Let's disciple each other. Let's identify the season that we're in so that we might bear fruit, not just fruit that looks good, but fruit that will last. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come to you, and really, as we said, it all boils down to this. Who do we serve? How are we submitted to you? And Lord, as the leader of this place, I just want you to know, today, for the sake of this body, I submit everything that I am and have to you. And I pray they would do the same, that they would find their source of light and life and provision and grace and truth, that their testimonies would come from eyewitness accounts of your presence and your power. And Lord, I pray that we would be a beacon, a light to the world around us, through healing and through prayer, through joy, through community, that together we might be submitted to one another and therefore inextricably part of one another. As we abide in you, you abide in us. Help us submit to one another, that we together would be the body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go get them.